This episode of Cannasations with Chris is presented by the 6th Annual Vermont Cannabis Convention. Join us on June 14th and 15th at the Champlain Valley Expo for two full days of exhibitors, interactive panels, education, medical and advocacy conversations, and a whole lot of networking. Visit dcan.com/Vermont or visit your local dispensaries for tickets and info. Now sit back, relax, partake in some festivities, and listen to another episode of Cannasations with Chris. I have to text someone right now. Caramel, huh? I like caramel. All right, here we go. All right, I'm going to start the podcast, all right?
Yeah. Right. And one thing I want to say, and I don't know where you'll drop this in, but I just want to make it clear, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for 7 days.
Absolutely.
And just so, you know, I've done radio and I've done TV.
Yeah.
Generally, when I do that, I'm like a spokesperson for 7 days. I'm Absolutely. Talking about my own work.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Here, like, I'm just talking, you and I are just talking. Yeah. Any opinions I express are my own. They're not, you know, without the express written consent of, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Not necessarily responsible for things I say while high.
This podcast is brought to you by the letter C, which stands for cannabis, but not Chris. That starts with a K. That's right. You are listening to nothing other than
Cannasations with Chris. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of your favorite podcast, Cannasations with Chris. I am your host, Chris. But what we like to do on this show is we like to highlight the cannabis industry here in Vermont and talk to people about cannabis, highlight cannabis businesses. But today, I'm not highlighting the cannabis business, but somebody came. I've been telling y'all, like, over the past few podcasts, I've been having big things going on. So y'all are listening to this podcast from the past, but y'all are getting it from the future. Smoke weed, you'll understand. You know what I'm saying? But I have this gentleman on who came to interview me for the 7 days. And you seen, like, last week, the paper 7 days just dropped with me in it. It's kind of cool to say, even though it hasn't happened yet. But by the time y'all hear it, it'll be done happened. So, you know. But anyway, we have today this gentleman. This is the first time we've seen each other.
That's right.
We've talked on the phone. And
exchanged emails.
Yeah. So, like, this is the first time we've met, but I've been super excited about this interview. So now I'm interviewing the interviewer.
You're interviewing the interviewer.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So, without further ado, we have Ken Picard from 7 days. Disclaimer.
I'll just say, you know, from the outset, just to cover my own ass and that of my employers, that anything I say is strictly my own opinion.
Yes,
and,
it is.
Which is pretty much what often the case. Thanks for having me, though.
Thank you for coming out. Like, it's crazy. Like, I'm sitting here interviewing a newspaper. Like, my life has just been going, like, a little haywire lately. But most of it has been for the best.
Yeah.
So, it's really cool that you're here, you know, on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's get into it real quick.
All right.
Who are you, good sir?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Well, I've been at 7 days since October 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm originally from New York. I grew up on the Guy Island, Long Island.
The Guy Island.
But basically, I was living out in Montana. I was the managing editor of a newspaper out there, the Missoula Independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't crazy about being an editor. I took over in June of 2001, and then 4 months later was 9/11, you know? And that was the biggest story of our lives, and I was stuck behind a desk, like, thinking, well, do I really want to be worrying about the movie times coming in right now? It's like, I'm a reporter, I'm a writer, you know? And I was living in Missoula, you know, Western Montana, and like, I recognized all those places I was looking at because I used to work in Lower Manhattan. I worked down, like, Wall Street area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I lived in Hoboken, took the train in, and would go through the World Trade Center. And so really realized, like, I want to be a writer.
You know?
I want to be back to doing that again. So I started looking around and at that point, my dad's health was declining. He was in New York, and I'm like, I need to be back on the East Coast. So I started looking for places that were like Missoula, Montana. So I was like, all right, I need a college town where everybody's into the outdoors and there's mountains around and, you know, progressive politics. It's like, oh, duh, ding, 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 Burlington, Vermont. You
know? Right there. Hey, that's funny.
And then, so then I reached out to my bosses and, you know, said, hey, I know somebody in Montana, or, you know, my current bosses. I know somebody out here was like looking to make a move back there. You have any positions? They're like, is it you? Like, yeah. So I came out and got the job and I was staff writer number one there. So.
That's dope. What is it about writing? What is it? What makes you want to be a reporter?
You know, the one thing I love about this job, one of the, I'd say like the best thing about this job is it gives me an excuse to go to places and talk to people that I would have probably never have met or talked to before and in their space and do the one thing that they're probably best at, which is talking about themselves and their own lives. Like, what do you know better than yourself, right? Hopefully, if you're a, you know,
sort it's of a journey to learn yourself, but it is. At least you know a little something about yourself.
And what's amazing is here I am, like I'm here in this room. Like a week ago, I was with people who show million-dollar show horses around the country, you know, like talking to like an 18-year-old girl who gets flown around the country to go to shows and ride, you know, these like beautiful animals and like trot around and like, you know, like a tuxedo and derby. And it's like, there's that. And then, you know, it's just, and in a small state, state like Vermont, where what do we have? 640 something thousand people. And it's like, I've been doing this for almost 22 years and have not even come close to running out of people to talk to write about, to hear their stories. That's what this, you know, exactly. I mean, you know, that's what you're doing is you're hearing the stories of the cannabis community.
Yeah. And it's kind of how I wanted to show that was just, these are regular people, you know, growers, they're nobody special, but they're special.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I want to bring like the just sit around, talk. And I said, it was funny because I was like, all right, there's probably almost 200 businesses in Vermont. By the time I get from A to Z, that'll take like one a week, 200. That's about 3 years.
Yeah.
I can just start it back over.
Well, it's
be like, what you been doing?
Yeah.
And then just circle back. And then
and there'll be new ones.
Then, you know, so it's kind of like when I created this, it was like, that was my lane. So I was like, I'm never going to run out of interviews.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, you know, it's not possible unless I just stop doing the interviews.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Have you had any guests on who like didn't want to smoke or?
It was strange at first. My first one was a gentleman, actually he worked for the Barry newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, he didn't like any type of intoxicants of any type. And then I had a dispensary owner. It was Tiffany from Euphoria Cannabis.
Yeah.
She doesn't smoke. So it's kind of like as much as I've thought that we're all stoners, like everybody smoke weed.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of us, or there's a small amount of us that don't smoke. Yeah. Or that she says she likes to eat edibles.
Yeah, she probably didn't. And if she's doing something like this.
Yeah, exactly. She wants to be in her right mind that. But I understand
Damn,
that.
I missed that opportunity.
Yep, sure did. Pressure, baby. Pressure.
That peer pressure. I guess we could say, we could confess. Yeah, I guess right. There was some. They had something. It was something true about it.
Hey, man, let's be honest. This is Cannasations.
Like, that's right. That's right.
I have to, you know. Right. But it's cool to have people that don't smoke in the industry. And I know people that only smoke one thing, like, or only smoke one way, or that is their fate. Like, I'll do whatever, but this is my way.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that carry the little glass pipes in their pocket. They'll have a little bag of weed on them, you know what I'm saying? Just pack it up and smoke it and go about their life.
I think it's so interesting to just think about like the evolution of how, like, I smoked.
Absolutely. If you don't mind me asking, what's your age?
It's okay. I'm 58.
Okay. So you know, you've been you've been through the total evolution.
Oh yeah, I smoked. I started first time I ever got high. I was 12 years old.
That was there. We go. Let's talk about it. Tell us about the first time you got high.
So, well, the first time I got high, or the first time I smoked. Because this was the 1970s. Okay, these were the days of seeds and stems. Okay, you know, had I ever known the weed that if I could have fast forwarded, you were talking giving that everywhere. Everything everywhere all at once at the beginning.
Yeah.
Talking about a story I haven't written yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you read the story that Ken hasn't written yet? He's sitting right opposite me. Yeah, that's a canization right there.
Reporting from the future in the past.
Reporting from the future. So the first time I ever smoked was with my sister and a friend of hers in the backyard. And I just I didn't get high very much, but I do remember what immediately struck me was the look of the glowing bowl right in front of me. And this was one of those kind of like metal bowls, like it had like who thought all metal heated up with a lighter. That's
a hand. I had one a long time ago, and I was like, man, this thing is hot.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Why am I holding this?
Like kids would give themselves bowl burns, you know. Do you remember that? Like deliberately, it's like, oh, look, I got.
I didn't. So honestly, I never smoked out of a bowl until I got with my ex.
Oh, okay. She,
and I was like, yo, what do you smoke out of that? She was like, weed. And I'm like, you sure? And she was like, yeah.
Because it kind of has like a little of a crack pipe look about it.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
and I was just like, maybe it's just a cool crack pipe, you know? Like, I don't know, but still, it's a crack pipe.
I never saw a crack pipe with that much art put into it.
And it was an Albert Einstein.
Oh,
it had an Albert Einstein on the face.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm not smoking out of Albert Einstein because I don't know what Albert Einstein's been smoked. She was like, it's just weed. And I was like, all right, if it ain't weed, I'm going to punch you in the face. I didn't because it was weed.
It was weed.
Yeah, I was good.
Yeah.
But I never was really exposed to like bowls and things like that. It was just blunts and joints growing up.
Yeah. But the first time I ever got high was the second time I smoked. And that was in the basement. So my sister had a friend who lived around the corner.
Yeah.
And they had this little basement room tucked away like behind the furnace kind of thing with like white shag rug and black lights and stuff.
And smoking lounge.
Yeah, it was a smoking lounge. And and I remember distinctly sitting on the floor and smoking a bowl, and Earth, Wind, and Fire was on. And the song Fantasy came on.
Oh, talk that shit, man.
I'll tell you something. I can't hear that song without it was like immediate ping back to that basement room in 1978, 79, whatever it was, you know. And, you know, it was like, I felt like I was on a roller coaster going backward. I'm like, oh, man.
A roller coaster going backwards.
Yeah. But it was, it was a beautiful thing. And so.
It's crazy. Like, I think it's amazing how we remember our first time smoking. And then we remember our first time getting high.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's like that with other drugs, but on the flip side, like people remember cannabis. I've not seen with my own eyes, but only heard the stories of how cannabis helped people get out of other drug problems.
Yeah.
You know, they use that.
Yeah.
And I've always like, even from knowing that, I'm like, man, how has this ever been bad?
Yeah.
And I grow flower right beside my tomatoes.
Yeah.
By my blueberry bushes. You know, it's crazy that it's been deemed so bad.
Right.
You know, it is, you know, that's what we're here doing, right?
Right.
We're here humanizing it, changing it.
Well, I was always kind of struck by the fact that, let me tell you about an experience I had.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the, you know, early 2000s, like before it was, adult use legal in Vermont. You know, I was covering the legalization of medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting in a like health committee meeting room and, you know, all like the lawmakers are sitting around, and it's mostly a bunch of like old white men and old white women. And, and so on, they're having a talk about, you know, legalizing this. And like on one side of the room are all like the state troopers and like, you know, then director of public safety and guys in like, they have bulletproof vests and, you know, starched uniforms. And, you know, one of them gets up and he's talking about how, you know, well, if we legalize medical marijuana, you know, the Hells Angels from Quebec are going to come down. And they start doing this math on, like, they're going to start, you know, buying up weed, and then there's going to be, like, gun violence. And it's like, they're painting this total, like, doom and gloom kind of.
What the fuck?
Okay. And then, but that's on one side of the room. On the other side of the room are these women who are in their mostly 80s, maybe even early 90s, who get up there and say, like, well, if I get cancer or glaucoma, like, I have a friend who said that she did this for her condition, and it definitely helped alleviate her pain. And it's like, you know, it's like this total disconnect between each side of the room. And then the lawmakers are all sitting there shaking their heads at each of the respective people testifying. And then it's lunchtime. And so they're kind of off the record at this point. And then the lawmakers, who had all been asking very serious questions about the drug use and what kind of gang activity might come into the state and how many, like, tons of weed will be moving through here. And then they start making jokes about, well, next time you guys come in, you have to, like, bring us some pot brownies. It's like, all right, like, could you imagine them having that kind of conversation if they were talking about policy related to methamphetamine?
Exactly. Or
it's like, they like, hey, next time come and, you know, bring a needle for each of us. It's like, no, of course not.
I got a bouquet of needles for all this heroin that we can yeah, it's crazy.
But like, it was a complete, so there was sort of, there was already this recognition that, like,
It's okay.
I don't know why we're making such a big deal over this. Like, it's not that there's no social consequence. Everything has a social consequence, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, when
I understand this, the social consequences on the negative side, but it's only the negative side when it's presented in a negative way.
Yeah.
Like, bringing it to the forefront of how the CCB has been doing it. I can understand how people are saying they're slow, they're not moving fast, like, but they're a small unit. This is a growing business. We're just beginning.
I think people think it's like the FBI.
This was literally created.
I know people have their own beefs, and whether they're legitimate or not, like, I understand that. But I do believe that they are doing the best they can.
Absolutely.
And let's give them time. I think so far so good. I've been satisfied with what I've seen so far.
It's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, this is usually part of the show that I'd be like, hey, put a sticker on the table. But I had only planned this in my mental, but I didn't give it to Ken. So then when he got here and he was like, you want to interview me? Well, I asked you, right?
Yeah. But I was actually thinking.
But he was thinking it too. So he didn't bring the sticker, but whenever we see each other again, I got to get a sticker.
I will get you one. I'll get you several.
As you see, this table has a lot of businesses on it who's helped contribute to this podcast.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We got to get 7 days on there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right, so
anything else you want that I know?
Yeah,
about
hold on. We're going to get there.
Okay.
All right. Hey, I love my podcast, man. Y'all listen to these spectacular tunes presented by my boy SK. Hey, I've been seeing him. You know what I'm saying? I just seen the Eyes Wide Shut drop, and it had SK tagged in it. So shout out to my boy Sam. I see you doing your thing, dog. Now we're going to get into the segment called Own Weed. So what you do is, you know, you just didn't start smoking on October 1st.
No.
So I like to find out, you know, ways that you like to consume and things like that. So first question is, what is your favorite way to consume?
I would say right now, I mean, I'm definitely enjoying the edibles.
Yeah.
So I've got two kids. So I've got a 14-year-old and I've got a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And I just don't, like, I've talked to my daughter, the 14-year-old, about it. Like, when she turned 12, it's like, okay, that's when I was first introduced to it. So I'm going to talk about that. So I don't like to like sort of come inside smelling like smoke. And so usually edibles, sometimes vape flower, you know, nothing with solvents. You know, I like the hash rosin vapes. I think those are, that's a really nice, clean way of doing it.
It really is.
It is, you know, and, but I just don't want, I don't want a bunch of chemicals. I don't, you know, that's and that's what I, you know, I don't want them. I don't want that to be seen kind of thing.
Yeah, no,
so it's tough, you know, because, you know, on the one hand, there's totally like legitimate reasons to, for kids not to have it. But at the same time, I had a conversation with my daughter. I was like, this is the relative safety of it, you know? So,
yeah, that's good. That's a big thing for people now. That's often a question I ask people. It's like, how are they going to, how do they present their flower, their consumption to their kids? So I understand. My daughter was young, so, you know, she didn't listen. So then we had to tell her like, hey, this is what we had to create a new practice. So she goes in the other room. She knows that when we're smoking or when I'm smoking, she's not supposed to be in here. So.
Yeah. I had an experience, you know, we were out visiting my wife, my wife's friends and family out in Rochester, New York. And so we went to a, you know, we went to somebody's party. And this was like a party where there were people there with their kids and stuff. And everybody at the party is like, they're drinking liquor and beer, whatever. Nobody's thinking anything about mixing drinks. But like when it comes time to get high, you know, everybody goes out in the driveway. So I go outside and my kids were much younger at that point. And I was thinking, and I didn't know this, but my daughter had come up to the window and looked through the window and so, when somebody passed me a joint. So later she goes, asks my wife and says like, I saw daddy smoking a cigarette. And I remember at one point my daughter asked me, she's like, I saw you smoking a cigarette. I was like, you did not see me smoking a cigarette. I do not smoke cigarettes.
Oh, sweetheart. No, I was not.
No. I was smoking weed, and we can have that. I said, you have never seen me smoke a cigarette.
That's funny.
But.
Yeah. No, it's understandable. Like the things that parents have to go through to, I guess, shield their kids, to show them.
Like, I want them to be educated. I want them to know. So, look, if you're having a bad experience, just know that cannabis is not going to stop your heart. Okay.
Yes.
It's not going to, you may get panicked and you may start hyperventilating, but it's not going to stop you from breathing. So those are important things for kids to know compared to like, hey, if you have a friend who gets drunk and falls down at a party and is like starting to throw up, like you need to think about that because they could die.
Exactly.
But not with weed. No. I mean, the only way you get an overdose on it is if a bale of it falls on you.
I've seen that there is a way that you can OD on cannabis. You have to take, I think it's like 100,000 tons, but you have to smoke it in 10 minutes. Like, and it's the only way, like, you can die from cannabis. And it was a post, and then somebody right below it was like, let's give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, look, you could have there, there's that, you know, people who consume too much and they throw up.
Yeah.
I forgot what that's called, but anyway, like, the fact is, like, I want my kids just to be knowledgeable.
Absolutely.
Like, just know what you're
getting. What you're doing. Know what you're getting it from. Know who you're getting it from.
The other thing I really want is I would like to see a lot more sophisticated conversation around the positive effects.
Absolutely.
Because back, you know, years ago, 7 Days used to do an annual weed issue. You know, that was our cannabis issue, and we always timed it around 420, and we would do surveys of readers. And I remember asking people, like, what were the positive things that happened in your life as a result of, consuming weed? And, like, the answers were amazing. Like, I wish we could have published, like, every single answer because or maybe we did. I can't remember. But they were people like, oh, yeah, I figured out my dissertation, or I solved some business problem that I couldn't get my head around, or I realized this relationship sucked and I've got to get out of it, or I realized I got to change careers, or whatever it was. But there were so many, and
a lot of pivotal moments didn't came from getting stoned.
Oh, absolutely. My wife and I decided we had gone to see a house and it was like slightly out of our price range. And I was like, we can't afford it. And then I went out and I remember smoked that night, walked the dog. And I was like, started thinking about it. I was like, no, we can't let this.
We need that shit.
Yeah, and we're still in that house. And it's, see? You know, and it was like, it was totally the right decision.
Totally. Exactly.
But I probably wouldn't have come to it. I've improved stories. Like, I've written a story. I've got a great first draft. Put it down. I've been slaving over this thing. Put it down. Smoke some. Print it out and read it. Yeah. And just reading it on the page the way a reader would, and not like a writer who's fiddling.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was like, oh no, like, why am I saying it in 30 words when I should be saying it in 10?
Yeah.
And it's like everything sort of,
it
distills things down for you, you know?
It does, yeah. It's dope.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Yeah.
Is what kind of music do you like to listen to on weed?
On weed. I'm, given my age, I mean, I'll sometimes just kick back with some Floyd.
There you go.
You know?
I know people that have their thing.
Yeah.
I like people that know what type of music they like.
Yeah. I mean, I followed the Dead for years. Yeah. And saw them, I don't know, 43 times or something.
That's crazy.
And, yeah. And traveled around the country, did that stuff.
Yeah.
But
it's a little Floyd, huh? That's your jam.
Yeah.
That's
but I also like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I like to mix it up.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what's up.
My daughter's into all like hip hop and stuff. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
When she's playing that, that's good too.
My daughter's into Taylor. I mean,
Taylor Swift.
No, she's out of Taylor Swift.
So is mine.
Tyler the Creator now.
Oh. Okay.
And so, you know, I've been getting a lot of songs and Tyler's in there. He's came a long way. I'll say that.
You know what I do like to do is play guitar. What am I?
Oh, no, you can't say that yet. I got that. Load up. We got
all
that.
Right. Sorry. Sorry, you can cut that part.
No, I'm gonna leave that shit in there. I cut that part. All right, so another question is, what kind, like when we get stoned, we like to eat. So what's your eating?
What's my go-to? Yeah, I mean, I love the ice cream. You know, I love the Ben and Jerry's. I love to hit that, but you know. It's like,
let me tell you about Ben and Jerry's. Yesterday, you know, I've been going through a lot lately and, you know, trying to change my life. But I was walking through the grocery store or wherever I was at. And it was like Ben and Jerry called me from the ice cream section, caught my eyes.
Yeah.
And we had like a conversation. It was like, buy me. Come put your warm hand on my cold container and take me. And I was like,
go fondle my nuts.
No. No.
I got a chunky monkey for you, baby.
That's my shit, chunky monkey. Hey, yo,
I'll tell favorite. You about the Americone dream.
I'll show you what the real Cherry Garcia is about.
You're going to lose that Cherry Garcia. Yeah, pop that sucker up. I'm in so all much right. trouble.
This is all on you, good sir. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Yeah.
What type of, as you've already said, what type of activities do you like to do?
So, love to bike.
Okay.
And love to play guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is, I mean, I've never taken a lesson. I've just.
Self-taught.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not very good, but. It feels good, you know?
I like the way you know, the modesty. I've never heard you play, but I've heard a lot of people be like, I'm not really the best. And I'm like, then when somebody else hears it who can't play a guitar, they're like, man, you're killing that shit. And then to know whatever you can do, you were self-taught. You know, it's kind of like my podcast. Like, I learned this, and I've created, and I still got work to do, but it sounds good to people like, yo, your shit sounds pretty quality.
Yeah.
You know, so knowing that from, I dig that.
Yeah.
So like, yeah.
Well, I love the feeling of just, you know, so much of my life is obviously words and having conversations with people, but it is great just kind of being in that moment, playing, and it feels good. I mean, it feels good. So it's like, if it doesn't sound good to other people or it's not their thing or whatever,
it's not for you.
Hey, so be it. Yeah. But that's, you know, I'm not getting up on stage doing it. It's just, for me, it's like therapy. It's like meditation.
Oh, I like that. I've been getting into meditating lately.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. I learned things that was part of meditating was it said, if you can bring yourself back to meditation, that's how you know you're meditating.
Hmm.
Because your brain does what it does, it can drift off But once you start to drift, you're like, no, let me get that back. That's when you're meditating.
Yeah, focus on the breathing.
Focus on the breathing. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It'd be working. I am starting to ground myself and learn the ways of the universe.
Meditation with Chris.
Meditation with Chris. Hey, that's going to be, I'm going to make an app.
Meditation with Chris.
Hey, man, you helping me build my brand.
Go for it. That's a freebie.
Take it, man.
Go run with it.
Don't be taking my shit out there. No. Y'all ain't got this voice anyway, so and don't be pitching it. You know what I'm saying?
Copyright Chris Copyright Brown, 2024.
Right here. All right. So what type of, do you play video games or do you watch TV?
Mostly TV, yeah.
Okay. What kind of TV shows do you like to watch?
I love sci-fi. Okay. You know, there's a series going like Three Body Problem. It's on Netflix. That was really good.
I started watching the beginning, but I wasn't in a space where because it was, you got to listen. Like, it's not like a TV show that you can just
turn
on. Oh, yeah,
you can
tune
in and out. No, it's a story.
It's a story.
It's based on a Chinese sci-fi novelist series. And really good. I love that stuff. And, you know, I grew up watching Star Trek. And when they chose the freaking captain, you know, first heard about that.
Yeah. So you're older than me, but what time did Star Trek come on? Do you remember? It used to come on every day at a certain time. If you watch Star Trek, you know. I could be wrong, but it was in my area. So I just, maybe that was me assuming as a kid, like, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it was already in syndication by the time you were watching it and I was watching it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was only on 66 to 69 or whatever.
Yeah, I remember it came on at 7 o'clock. Mm. And I remember hearing it. I couldn't even watch TV during the week, but my grandpa would always watch the news, watch the whatever after, and then it would be space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. And I was like, man, that guy sounds cool as hell. Like, and so that was like, I ain't gonna say that was like my first introduction to voiceover, but going all the way back, and I've never really watched Star Trek, but those lines right there are forever stuck in my head.
And that's a good one to have stuck in your head, especially if you're...
You knew it too, because as I'm saying it, you're saying it too.
Oh, for sure.
So, well, look, man, thank you so much for coming out.
Oh, really, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's really nice of you to turn the tables, as it were.
Hey, and you know, that's...
I owe you a sticker or two.
So. You do. Hey, I got them. Hey, I got it. I'll keep a space for you.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
But I noticed that, like, you don't, like, nothing overlaps anything else.
No.
You seem very, it's a very deliberate choice. You do have two pandas, so.
I do.
Breeding pair, I guess.
Exactly. So somebody told me, it was like, you let your OCD go in this room, didn't you? And I was like, maybe I did, you know, but I created this room, no lie, just because I've always wanted like my own, what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I never knew what I wanted. And when I bought this house, I looked at this room and I was like, I want to do something with this room. And the first thing I thought about was my collages that I had made. Mm. And I was like, let's turn this whole room into a collage.
That's great.
And that's what I did. And it's crazy. It was like my field of dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what my questions were going to be, what I was going to do. But I remembered, if I looked at my wall, hey, do you like comic books? You know what I'm saying? Like, because some people come in, they be like, yeah, I'll do it. And then we get here and they're like, Chris, podcast, grow weed. That's it. And I'm like, let's loosen some shit up. Let's just have you know, so I could just pull stuff from, wherever.
And it gives you a lot of food for thought here.
It does, yeah. And it creates a level of comfortability.
Yeah.
You know, that was my main thing. So
That and having a joint burn.
And more levels to the comfortability.
Yeah, that's right. You got a mini fridge.
I got a, you know, that was my plan. I wanted to have, like, you know what I'm saying, little snacks and drinks.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still getting things together.
It's sort of like Bill Maher's got that little thing that he does with people.
Yeah.
You know, where they come in and he sits there and he smokes his joint and, you know, of course, he's got his, like, $1 million memorabilia behind him and all that shit.
Yeah, I'll get there. Mine is... I got some. I guess this is memorabilia. I did a voiceover for Brothers Broadleaf there in Tampa.
Okay.
And they, you know, sent me a whole bunch of product for doing the voice work. So I got a whole bunch of like cigars and glue and special. It was a whole bunch of stuff. It was amazing.
So, nice.
Yeah, so once again, man, thank you for coming out, Ken. I greatly appreciate you.
Well, it was nice chatting with you, Chris.
And thank you.
Yeah, we'll definitely do it again.
And thank y'all for listening. Greatly appreciate y'all. Y'all keep tuning in. We're gonna keep this ball rolling. You know, I can't be getting featured in the 7 days and being like, all right, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? We got to keep this ball rolling. So I got some things cooking. You know what I'm saying? I got some things cooking on the low, but y'all know how I do. Y'all keep looking. So once again, Ken, thank you for coming out. Thank you for interviewing me. Thank y'all for listening. And y'all know the drill. Y'all stay blazing and stay amazing. And we out.
That was great.
You like it?
Yeah.
It's your first podcast,
right? Yeah. First one.
Hell yeah. Good.
Was that fun?
That was, of course. I'm out here popping podcast cherries. That's what I'm doing. Like, it's cool. Because, like, everybody's like, I don't know. Like, I've never done a podcast. I'm like, okay, but you've carried on a conversation, right?
Yeah.
And you smoke weed, right? All right, well, let's just put them together in my house, in my studio.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, yeah, man. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's...